Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Good to see ya. You all look absolutely gorgeous. Should we pray? Yeah, let's do it. Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your presence. We gather to it. 30 years I've been coming to this church. Wow. Father, it's an honor to be in your presence. We love you. We praise you. We expect great things because you're so wonderful. Thanks for the Holy Spirit. He's so great. He's the next guy. Funny that Jesus said, I'm going to go and I'm going to send the next guy. Imagine the disciples going, I thought you were the guy. And they say, yeah, I am the guy. And there's another guy. And he said, the next guy, I'm going to send another guy. Not just be with you, he'll be in you. Lead you into all truth. Bring you peace. Empower you. Father, thank you for your wonderful presence. Where would we be without you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Hand for Mr. Chu. You're amazing. Hand for Mr. Chu. He taught all my kids music. Coolest music teacher in the world. Thanks, Annalise. You're amazing. So good to see you. Yeah, 30 years I've been coming to church, this church. 30. How is that possible? Haven't had any work done yet? Yet. Just a little. Do you ever do that? I wouldn't get anything done, but if I did, it'd be just a little, any whatever. So we're talking about the church gathered this week because what did we do last week? We did Pentecost Sunday. Anyone here? Pentecost Sunday? Yeah, really good, right? And I was away. But I was preaching somewhere. But it was Pentecost Sunday. So this week is the church gathered. So, and then we had Easter before that. Should we do a little recap? Ready? Jesus died on the cross for your forgiveness. He was raised from the dead and ascended for your justification to make you right with God. He was seated at the right hand of the Father so you could share in his authority, and he sent the Holy Spirit so you could be empowered. That's a good full circle, right? And it's like we're back in the Garden of Eden again, full of power, walking with God, no restrictions, unabandoned, living with God. That's good, right? Every time you're having a miserable day, remember that. Job done. You're back in the garden, living life to its full. Oh, that's good news. Okay, so this is what happened with the disciples, and now they gathered. And this is our scripture. This is our foundational scripture. We get these themes of what we've got to preach on, and I got the theme for the church gathers. And I said, have you got another one? And I said, it's all right, because I saw God and I felt God speak to me. Anyway, God, I digress. So my message is called He Still Dines. I tried that title out on my son Maverick and he goes, Don't you love 16-year-old kids? Bless their hearts. They'll tell you straight. What do you think of this outfit? It's all right for in the house. He still dines. Now, foundational scripture is this. Acts 2:42 in the NIV says this. They've devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, if you're ever preaching on this, this is how you would preach on it. You go, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. I'll say it again. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. We miss that middle bit out. And I was reading this over and over again. I was going, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, hanging out, to the breaking of bread, eating dinner, and to prayer. Apostles' teaching, hanging out, eating dinner together, and to prayer. And it struck me like a ton of bricks that half of what they did was just hanging out. How offensive is this? This is like Jesus just did all that, died on the cross, resurrected, and seated at the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Ghost. They're empowered with the Holy Ghost, and now they're spending half their time just hanging out together. You can imagine, This is the core foundation of the church. Jesus said, you'll get the Holy Ghost, go change the world. And now they're just gathering. They're just hanging out. And then I thought, hang on a second. Wait. Maybe they're not stupid. Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe they saw something. Maybe they knew something that we don't know. Or maybe they remembered something that we've forgotten. What did they know? What did they know? What did the disciples see? Let's find out. Let's read just a little bit here. Remember, they've just spent the last 3 years with Jesus, watching how he got things done. Let's see what they saw. Let's go to Matthew 9. It says this, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. That always makes me laugh. That's tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners as well came and just ate with him and his disciples. Let's go to Luke 5. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were just eating with them. And then lucky there were some smart people, the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, and they said, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you just hanging out with these people? And I don't think it was so much. I always used to read this and think that the Pharisees were mad that he was spending time with sinners. And I don't think that was the exact case. I think it was more the fact that, not that he was around sinners, but the fact that he was just dining with them. You're just dining with them, Jesus. You call yourself the Son of God, God in the flesh, but you're just dining with people. You're not telling them what they're doing wrong in life. You're not trying to fix them up. You're just blooming eating dinner with them. You're just dining. And it must have drove their religious minds nuts. And they couldn't handle the dine. They couldn't handle the gather. You can imagine they would twitch and veins would pulse on their head. Why are you just dining with them? And then we come to now, and the disciples are copying it. The disciples are recreating it. So what was it that they saw? What was it that they saw in these gatherings, in these dinings where Jesus would just spend time and dine with people? There could only really be one thing, I put it to you, that they saw that could make them gather this much. It could only be one thing. It could only be that they saw that just as much happened in his presence that happened in his preaching. It could be the only thing that we can make them think, we need to do this too. That just as much happened when they gathered as when they preached the gospel. That just as much happened when he dined as when he was doing something. And this made a lot of sense to me, because I had 14 years away from God. Can anyone beat that? 14 years away? 14? 14? Sawney, how long away? Don't say it. 14 years away from the Lord. But I had a Bible next to my bed, and I'd read it now and again. It was normally a psalm, didn't mean anything, but I felt like I had a connection with God, and I'd pray now and again. It was always the same psalm, and it was because I just flicked the Bible open. You know when you just flick the Bible open enough, and it was always clanging cymbals and harps. Anyway, I don't even know what psalm that was. And I prayed a bit. So I read the Bible now and again. I prayed a bit, but nothing really happened. And then in 1994, I stepped into this warehouse in Brookvale with a sign over the top that said Christian City Church, Brookvale. And I stepped in wearing overalls and long hair and a goatee and a pirate hoop silver earring because I was cool, because it was cool back there in the early 90s grunge era. And I walked in, and I remember going, oh, cool, lights are good. Oh, great, preaching. God. Honestly, I'm like five steps into the building going, hey, like it. Oh, God. And I'm just crying. And now it makes sense why I was crying, because I wasn't just walking into a building. I was walking into his presence. And we forget we're not coming to a building every Sunday. We're coming to his presence. And I don't know how you forgot that. And how your expectation of what his presence does in your life drops so low. But I'm here today to crank it back up again. That you're walking into the presence of God himself. See, a building is good. Ah, and preaching is good. And worship is good. And community is good. But they pale in comparison to his presence. If I was brutally honest with myself, that's why I come. Because one moment, just one day, oh my God, in his presence changes everything. You say, I've got so many problems. The only problem you have is that you don't press in like you used to. You think these are all the reasons why I don't just push past. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. Just push past. Because remember, that's where everything would change. Remember when you would get lost in worship and now you just come to church. Well, Jamie, God left me. God left me. I had made some dodgy decisions in my life and things went wrong. God left. I remember when he left, he walked out, he left. God left. God left. He's gone. God left. There's a great scripture that says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Jamie, what does that mean? It means you're as close to God as you want to be. You draw near, he'll draw near to you. But Jamie, I just can't come into God's presence. I hardly know God. I just, you know, I feel like I'm miles away. This is the first time I've been in church like for 14 years, same as you. You got all these deals going on. I was reading John 19:30, Jesus on the cross, when he said it's finished. And I was looking up what he actually said in the original Greek. Well, Aramaic, but the translation in Greek that the New Testament is in. And the word that he said on the cross. Oh, I love him. Flippin' love you. The word he said was tetelestai in Greek. And it's actually a merchant's word, a word used by people who would sell goods to other people. And when someone would pay something off and a payment was completed, the merchant then would give them a little receipt, a little bit of paper. And do you know what he'd write on that? He would write tetelestai and he'd hand it to them. And do you know what it meant? Paid in full. How's that? Last words, Jesus on the cross, paid in full. He's so awesome that he would use that merchant's word to do this so people would hear it and they would know. Why did he, you know, people walking past, he just said paid in full before he died. Golly. And we hold back from his presence. We were having pizza and DY the other night because it's the cheapest meal for a family of five. You know it is. Sometimes Thai can be also, but pizza's normally the most affordable. And I got up to pay at the end. And the lady behind the counter said, oh, a gentleman has already paid for your dinner. And I was like, what? I didn't see anyone. She goes, yeah. I said, where is he? I want to say thanks. She said, he's already gone. Someone I didn't know paid for my dinner. Are you serious? Imagine she said that. And I said, imagine if I'd have said to the girl, oh yeah, but look, I've been looking at some weird stuff on the internet lately. Nothing too bad, but it's a slippery slope. You know what I mean? And I've been yelling in the traffic. You know, one minute I'm listening to Amy Grant, you know, the next minute I'm like, it's green, mate. It's flaming green. You know, you just flip between the two. You know, when only four cars get through and you're the fourth, you're like, come on, mate. And you've already committed to go through. I'm going through. I'll go around you. And then I got some red tip bananas the other day and I put him through his Cavendish. I don't know why. I'm used to pressing the button. I should have gone back and I didn't. I've got all this guilt. And I'm guessing the girl behind the counter would say, she'd be stunned for a start. And there'll be a moment of silence. Then she would say, I realize that you've got some weird deals going on in your life, Mr. Malcolm. And I appreciate you sharing them with me. But that does not change and cannot change the fact that somebody else has already paid for your dinner for you. You are free to go, Mr. Malcolm. You are free to go. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord at all, you ready? You ready? Ready for this? He's already paid for your dinner too. And that's the gospel. You thought when you came to him and got everything right, he's already paid for your dinner too, for just the right time when we were still powerless. Christ died for us. God, a God you didn't know, paid for your dinner already. Why? So you could come. And you keep up making up these blooming reasons of your failures and things that are not right. And you go, I can't come. He paid all that and he did all that. He paid for it all so you could come. One reason, so you could come boldly to the throne. Ah, my gosh, it's crazy. He paid for your dinner. God, you might say, Jamie, that's too good. Ah, they say it's his goodness that makes us turn and come to him. Jamie, you can't just say anybody can just come. No, I wouldn't say that. Let's let God say it, shall we, instead? Isaiah 55. I love the Holy Ghost. Don't start laughing. Oh, come on. Wait, I got it. Come and dine without money. Come on. Come, all you are thirsty. Prerequisite one. Thirsty? Come. Want some? Come. Come to the waters. Don't come to the rules. Oh, my gosh. Come to the waters. Whew. Don't come to the set of rules. Come to the waters. And you who have no money. I got nothing to offer you, God. Good. Come. You're in. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Stop trying to earn it. Stop it. Stop it. Just come. Oh, but those people are real Christians. Just come. Stop trying to earn it. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good and your soul. Oh, my gosh. Our soul starves. Your soul is so thirsty. You go, I'm not thirsty. I'm not thirsty. Your soul's on the other side. I'm so thirsty. I need God's presence. Stop blocking me from the presence of God. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Jesus answered the Pharisees when they got mad at him and they said, you need to be fixing these people, not dining with them. And Jesus answered them and he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You see, he didn't preach to them because they didn't need another message. Ever feel like that sometimes? I don't need another message. And he didn't give them advice because they didn't need another thing to do. The last thing I need is somebody else lobbed on me. And he didn't tell them off because they didn't need someone to tell them again the reason why they were failing. He said, they need a healer. Why? Because we don't want to be fixed. People want to be loved. I learned that firsthand. I remember when I first came to church in 94, I was doing Bible college and they said, you got to do a ministry job. And I was like, oh, great. And all the good ones were gone. I forget what the good ones were, but they were gone. The only one left was to be a telephone operator for JTV, which was Jesus Television, our TV show that we did. Pastor Phil used to do it, Channel 10 at like 5 a.m. in the morning. And on the bottom of the screen at the end of the show, Pastor Phil would say, okay, if anybody needs prayer, you know, there's a phone number. Sorry, Pastor Phil. There's a phone number at the bottom. Call that number and somebody will pray for you. Well, on the other end of that phone number was yours truly, who had been saved for 2 weeks. And I'm sitting there at 5 a.m, you know, looking at this phone, ready to go, Bible next to me going, hope nobody asks me tricky questions. And it rings, unfortunately. And I'm like, ring, ring, and I'm looking around. I go, hello, JTV, Jamie speaking. And this lady on the other end of the phone, she was so funny. I remember her. She took the deepest drags of her ciggy. She goes like this. She goes, I can't even do it as long as she did. Went on and on. And she goes, I've just been watching that guy on television. And he's talking about the love of God. I'll be here all day if I do that. I'll shorten them. And she says, he's talking about the love of God. She says, I'll tell you what, I don't need the love of God because I love myself and the universe loves me. And I was like, and all my great biblical knowledge, I went, oh, okay, I'm about to hang up. And I felt the first time I'd ever felt the Holy Ghost on me to say something. And I felt like God said to me to say to her, do you really love yourself? And so I was like, I said to her, do you really love yourself? You know, kind of mumble it. And she goes, yep. I love myself and the universe loves me. And then I felt to say it again. So I said it again. Do you really love yourself? She goes, yeah, I love myself and the universe loves me. And then third time I felt it again. I was like, do you really love yourself? And I'm waiting for her to yell at me. And I said, do you really love yourself? She goes, yeah, I love myself and the universe loves me. I don't need God to love me. And then fourth time, I kid you not, I said, do you really love yourself? And then it goes dead quiet. And she says, I hate myself so much I can't even look in the mirror. So people don't want to be fixed. They want to be loved. And I was like, I think I've got one. What do I do with this? What do I press a red button like a Ghostbusters? We got one. I said the worst prayer and hung up. I don't know what happened to her. Hopefully she's all right. God bless. You'll be right. Get off the ciggies. It was terrible. Terrible. I think of the wild man of Gerizim he was a guy who separated himself from people he grew up with and he gathered with in his village. And he separated himself. And the Bible doesn't say why he separated himself from his village and his people and his family. But it comes a stage in some people's lives where they feel like they're better off separate from the ones they love than with them. It happened to someone we know recently, did something awful. I don't know what it was. And the Bible says that this guy would yell, he would scream, he would cry out. And you go, well, that's because he's demon-possessed. You mean to tell me that you've never been in a situation where you've just yelled in frustration because you cannot figure out how to get through this wall and your head keeps hitting this wall. You can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. And the Bible says that he would cut himself with rocks. And specialists say that people do that so they focus on the pain on the outside rather than focusing on the pain on the inside because it's too much. It's too much to handle. And the Bible says that he would hang out in a graveyard, that he would hang out at a cemetery. And you might say that's because he's demon-possessed, but I think sometimes it feels easier to go to a place of the dead where there's no more demands on your life than to dwell in a place of the living. It's too hard hanging out with people with dreams and stuff. It's easy to go to a place when nothing more is asked of you. And then the Bible says that people from the village who he grew up with, people he used to gather with, they would come to him. Oh, it makes me cry this. They would come to him. And you can imagine him. He's yelling. He's cutting himself. He's in the cemeteries. And he looks down in the little village and people are walking towards him. And he goes, great, they're coming to me. Coming to love me, to help me. And as they get closer, he looks and he sees all they're bringing is chains. Cut. If we don't carry the presence of God, all we have to offer is chains. Fix you up. Stop you hurting yourself. This is what you need. And they put chains on them. You'd imagine them looking at people's faces, friends, family, people who you grew up with, and they're going, shut up, you need this, you need this. And they put the chains on them. And then they left straight away. And then the Bible says he would smash the chains on the rocks, gravestones, blood everywhere. If they would have just hung around just a little bit longer, they would have seen that all he wanted was to be free. Free of this thing that drove him to a place of darkness, of wanting darkness rather than wanting light. And he didn't understand it. And he couldn't fix it. And then the next morning, the Bible says this boat arrives on the shore. And these 13 hippies get out. 12 of them look like they'd been through a storm. One looks like it had a good night's sleep. And he turns and he looks. And my new favorite scripture in the whole Bible is next. The Bible says, and he ran. And he ran to Jesus. See, people won't run to a building. Hurt and broken people won't run to a formula. They won't run to a set of rules. But they'll run to someone who can set them free. And you forgot that's what he does. He who the Son sets free is free. And you come week after week. And I come week after week and we carry this stuff and these chains of things that we think we're supposed to do. Oh, I've got to get this right. I've got to get this right. And he's going, let me break that off you. Let me take that off you. You know, Jesus didn't call out many things in his lifetime as far as has anybody got this or anybody's got that. In fact, I don't know of anything he did, but there was one thing he did do. And he said, is anybody carrying something they shouldn't be carrying? Is anybody burdened? That's amazing. God in the flesh would call that out. Who's carrying a weight they shouldn't be carrying? Who knows deep down that they just want to be free? Well, I said all that to say this. He still dines. We better get the band up. Should we get the band up? Nearly at the end. Dr. Simeon and friends. He still dines because where two or more are gathered, I'm there among them. I think it's interesting that Jesus answered the Pharisees when I should be fixing them. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But I would have thought they were just showing up to see what was going on, to hear about the miracles and all these people, tax collectors, since they just showed up to see what he was going to do. But Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So it seems he knew why they were there. I'll say it a bit clearer. He knew why they were really there. I've been praying about this and for you over the last few weeks. And I felt if I could tell you anything, I felt to tell you this, that he knows why you're here. I'll say it clearer. He knows why you're really here. And you say, well, I keep coming up to church because it's the right thing to do. I keep coming to church because I bring my family. I keep coming to church out of habit. I keep coming to church. I don't know why I keep coming to church, but I just keep coming to church. He knows why you're here. He knows why you're really here. He knows about the anxiety. And you keep blocking it off. And you hold back from worship. And you hold back. You're only coming to his presence. The fact that other people are here is a benefit. But you're really only coming to his presence. We love everything. We love the music and the lights and the preaching in the building. But really, strip it all back. You're only coming to his presence. Why? Because just as much happens in his presence as happens in his preaching. And I don't know where you forgot that you couldn't come with depression and he would set you free. Some of you have got things that you are too big that you, for God. I felt that you've got things that are too big for God. That's too big. We were out at, what's that, light show, Vivid last night, and I was walking through these trees and stuff, and I felt in my heart to say, the reminder of God says he'll take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Of flesh. This all needs to be fixed out there. God, you need to be fixing all this stuff out there in my life. You need to fix it all. Then I'll have peace. God's gone, no. Can't control all that, but I want to give you that heart of flesh. That's softer. It's the only thing that gives me joy if everything's right. Oh, rubbish. You've had it perfect before and you're miserable. But you've never felt joy like when you're in His presence and He smiles at your heart and He touches your soul. And you go, oh, man. Is this what I was born for? In a nutshell, yes. Funny, Jesus said that these people, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And then the Bible doesn't say that He prayed for anybody. What? Didn't pray for anybody, didn't stand people up, didn't lay hands, didn't minister to people individually. The Bible just said, He dined. Nah. He healed them while they dined. While they gathered. While they came. Because just as much happens in His presence as happens in His preaching. Never treat His presence like a common thing. Not many people drop dead in the Bible. But the people normally who did, sounds dramatic, but those who treated His presence like a common thing. Just one touch. When was the last time you worshipped Him in full abandon? Threw off all restraint, every worry and every care. You know your answer is Him touching your heart again. When was the last time you were lost in Him? How did you forget your gathering? We're gathering to His wonderful presence. Before we finish, and we'll get a second to do that, let me just pray for anybody here who doesn't know the Lord. It's a good thing to do. You can't step this far. It's funny, when you talk about Jesus, you go, He died on the cross, and some people are like, oh, yeah, I can go that far. Well, He was raised from the dead. Well, I don't know if I can go that far. Oh, He was. Can you go that far? Seated at the right hand of the Father, can you go that far? And now He sent His Spirit for you. My son said the other day, how do you know it's all real? I said, bottom line, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, He'll lead you into all truth. And His presence is here now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd love to pray with you. If you don't know the Lord and you didn't know He'd paid for your dinner and you want to be free this morning, it's a simple prayer that asks the Lord into your life. I can feel the Holy Spirit on, like, right across here on every single person. If that is you here, what happens as you pray this? He goes from outside to inside. It's crazy. It's crazy. You might say it's too easy. Nope, paid in full on a cross. Wasn't easy. So right here, right now, right here, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're coming back to the Lord or you want to pray a prayer that invites the Lord into your life right now, before we pray, I want you to slip up your hand and I want you to do it in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do it right now. Just pop up your hand. Go, Jamie, that's me. Yeah. That's me. I want to pray a prayer that invites the Lord into my life. Awesome, awesome. Anyone else saying, Jamie, that's me? Yeah, it's me. I don't know where I've been. That was me. Thanks. Awesome. Anyone else? I thought I couldn't come to Him because I couldn't live a life He wanted me to live. I wish someone would have told me if I came to Him, I could. Beautiful. Thanks. I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else saying, yeah, that's me too. Beautiful, beautiful. Before we pray, give you 10 seconds. Anyone else saying, Jamie, that's me. If you're coming back to the Lord, Beautiful, beautiful. All right, I want everybody to pray this after me. You ready? Here it goes. Father in heaven, I ask Jesus into my life. I ask to be born again. Forgive me of my past. Thanks for my future. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.